Hallelujah.
So you seek knowledge so that your spirit man can be developed. Praise God. You know what we are talking about this month? Our authority in Christ. So throughout this month, that's what we are talking about. Our authority in who? Christ. Our privilege in Christ. Our legal standing in Christ. Our legal, the legality of what we are doing in Christ. Our authority in Christ. Somebody say our authority in Christ. John chapter 20 verse 21. John 20, 21. Everybody have to be precise and concise because I don't have time. I have a lot of things to talk about. John 20, 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. My Father has sent me. Even so send I what? Our authority in Christ. As my Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you have been sent on an errand before and they're supposed to take transport and they didn't give you transport? You are short-circuited. Hallelujah. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, how did the Father send him? Hallelujah. How did the Father send him? Jesus was well equipped for the work he came to do. The only time the Father left him was on the cross by 12 noon. So how did the Father send him? The Father sent him by being by his side. The Father sent him by confirming the words of his mouth. The Father sent him by allowing the Holy Ghost to be part of his ministry. Said, as my Father sent me, so I am sending you. You know, Jesus, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he said, I am come in the volume of the books that are written about me. So, the volume of the books, hallelujah. You know, in Luke chapter 4, the Bible says that when he returned from the wilderness, he went to the synagogue. As his manner was, he picked the scroll and opened the Bible and saw where it was written, the Spirit of God is upon me. I am coming the volume of the books written about me. So the volume of the books is starting from Genesis to the book of Malachi. Are you in church? As my Father sent me, so I am sending you. He came in the volume of the books written about him. So if he was sent, if he's sending us as the Father sent him, because he came in the volume of the books written about him. So, and he went to study in the volume of the books written about him to know the things said about him. It will be foolhardy for those of us that are sent by him not to know what is written about us. What is written about us? You can get that especially in the epistles. If he came in the volume of books written about him and he said, as my Father sent me, so I am sending you. So there is a volume of book written about us that we should understand and know. Follow. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you don't study, you will know it. Something I studied today. Most of the times when I'm in my office studying, sometimes I begin to shout. Thank God my door is usually closed. I begin to shout. So, wow! If I get a revelation, I begin to shout. I begin to clap my hands. I run around in my office. Revelation is not telling you who your Father is and the family you are coming from. Revelation is telling you who God says you are. As a child that wants to bring me to their youth program, they say the title of the program is Destined to Win. I laugh. I say, no, it's alright. If they are still going to bring me. But they may be so short. The way I will take the topic is not what they will expect. No. Destined to Win. They're thinking about that topic. My Father sent me. Even so, the same way I am sending you. So we need to peruse. We need to study and meditate on the things that are written about us. One of them is what we are going to unveil this month. Our authority in Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we sang that song. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes so that I can see. That's one of the most beautiful prayers you can make for yourself. That the eyes of understanding of you be enlightened. So that you will know the hope of your calling. The hope of your calling is not for God to give you money. To be precise, God does not give anybody money. He said, I am the one that gives you ability to make wealth. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. What God gives is not the blessings. God gives you the blessing. Blessing is intangible. Blessings are tangible things. He gives you the ability. Hallelujah. You are there waiting for God to throw that money for you. Sorry. Gives you the ability. Hallelujah. I want to say some one or two things before I start preaching. I want to know something. That you are a Christian doesn't stop the attack of the enemy over your life. Note that. Amen. Hallelujah. That you are a Christian doesn't stop. His name is Devil. That is the evil. He does that you are a Christian doesn't stop him from being evil. That even prayer doesn't stop him from being evil. His nature is evil. That is, his makeup is evil. So everything he does is evil. Doesn't stop him. Hallelujah. Number two, the value of our authority rests on the power that is behind that authority. The value of every authority rests in the power behind authority. Assuming today, hallelujah, the local government chairman sends somebody on an errand and the governor sends the same person on an errand and the president sends the same person on an errand, who do you think the man will obey? Will you come and give the person reason? Sorry, my governor sent me on an errand. Hallelujah. You watched the day my pastor came. You know, I have a normal seat here. I vacated the seat because authority higher than my own has stepped in. So, hallelujah. Every authority, the power in every authority is amen. Is determined by the power backing it. So, does the devil have power? Yes. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Luke 10, 19. Our authority in Christ. Look, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of what? So an enemy has what? But I give you power over his own power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So our authority in Christ, you know, our authority in Christ. So, we are going to look at who is the hour, the authority and the Christ. Now, when you talk about our authority, it's not talking about everybody. Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Our is talking about those of us that are born again, those of us that are Christians. Christians' authority in who? In Christ. That's what we are talking about. What is an authority? Authority is a delegated power. delegated power. I said it is the enablement to act on behalf of someone else. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. It is an enablement to act on behalf of somebody else. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All power. Why is he talking about? Why did he say that? I am the one sending you. So you should have at the back of your mind that there is a power backing you. All power in heaven and on the earth have been given to me. Hallelujah. Who is Christ? Christ is the Son of God who came for our redemption. He took upon him flesh and blood. Christ is the Son of God that came for our redemption. Hallelujah. So when we're talking about our authority, that's Christians' delegated power in the one that came for our redemption. Are you understanding it now? Very simple. I said he took upon him, that's Christ, took upon him flesh and blood. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. Let's look at that. Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. But made himself of no what? He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of what? And was made in likeness of who? Was made in likeness of man. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Hebrews 2 14. For as much as then, as the children are partakers of flesh and what? He also himself likewise took part of what? The same what? Flesh and what? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is who? Might destroy him. He took upon himself flesh and what? He's talking about Christ. Hallelujah. I said here, we are talking about our delegated, power of attorney, qualification to act in Christ. You know, look at this. I said, we are talking about our delegated, power of attorney, qualification to act in Christ. Delegated power. Power of attorney. Hallelujah. We hear attorney general of the federation. Power of attorney. Can take any decision and do what you want to. Because there's power back in you. I said we can as well call this our privileges in Christ. Won't say our authority. We can also our privileges in Christ. Privileges. This honor is not bestowed to everybody on earth, but to those who have accepted what was done for them by Christ Jesus. This privilege is not for everybody, but for those of them that have accepted what was done for them. I want to make a shocking statement. Everybody on earth, hallelujah, is saved. But not everybody has accepted salvation. Do you know what it simply means? What it means is that nobody, Jesus is not going to die for, that is, Jesus is not coming back to die for anybody again. Humanity has been saved. Before God, everybody is justified. Before God, everybody is made righteous. Before God, everybody is saved. But not everybody has accepted it. God has finished the work of salvation and kept it. It is now left for you to go and assess it. Are you understanding? I know it's contrary to what you have been hearing. It's for you to accept it. The work of salvation is a completed work. It's a completed action. God has completed. It's a completed thing. the work of justification is completed. Hallelujah. Okay, look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. So that they don't kill me. And you had he done what? Who are dead in what? And what? Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in children of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in the time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as what? Others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he did what? He loved us. Verse 5. Even when we are dead in sins, have us together with who? He quickened us together with who? When was Christ quickened? Was it today? 2,000 years plus ago. Were you there? So humanity was quickened with Christ. We were not there. But in the mind of God, humanity, everybody, both the ones that died before and the ones that are yet to be born, God saw everybody as what? Weakened. Are you getting it? So when I say everybody is saved, hallelujah. The legally speaking, everybody is quickened, but vitally speaking, everybody is not quickened. Hallelujah. Are we lost? When you go to hospital, when you go to hospital, that's what we call objective assessment and subjective assessment. Objective assessment is, doctor looks at you and said, you're looking pale, you're looking jaundiced, you're anecteric. They will just look at you and tell you so many things. That is objective assessment. Subjective assessment is that the doctor asks you, how did they do you? Because he does not know. He'll come and check. There's what we call vital signs. Vital signs, they will check your pulse rates. If it is more than 72 per minute, probably it's like 80 something, 90 something, and you have rested for like 5-10 minutes, they will not know that something is wrong. If it is like the pulse is weak and dready, the thing is slow and it's not palpable, they know that this woman is going, you know, probably the BP is slow. They go further, they check your BP. What he noticed that every morning, everybody will come out, the family will pray and go. In the evening, they come back and pray and go. He didn't know that those prayers were working on him. On the 12th day, something pushed him. He just carried the Bible and began to read. All of a sudden, he started crying. All of a sudden, he knelt down and submitted his life. He said, I used to be a drug trafficker. I used to smoke. I used to drink. He said, the urge for those things ended. If any man is in Christ, boy, he's a new person. If something new has not happened in your life, you are not born again yet. Say, repent. Hallelujah. There is a real change that took place. Man said, I felt something else. And he came back to the same church, and now when he sits down in that same place, he could now function well. That is life. Life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I said, all that Jesus suffered and also gained, he did all for us. All that Jesus suffered, you know, we only see his suffering. We don't see what he gained. All that he suffered and gained, all of them he did for us. Hallelujah. He did for us. Say with me, all that Jesus suffered and all that he gained, he did for me. I want you to personalize it. Say it again. All that Jesus suffered and all that Jesus gained, he did all for me. I want you to know that. Let it sink. That all that Jesus suffered
and all that he gained, he did for me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I. It's Christ that lived in me. All that he suffered my sake. He who knew no sin was made sin, that I be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All that he suffered for me. There was no need for him to come down here and die, if not for our sin. Said, inasmuch as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he took part of the sin, so that he can be a faithful high priest. Why did he take flesh and blood? So that he can be in our platform. So that he can be on the same pedestal, on the same level with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you in church? So, let's look at this. Let's look at what happened to us. What really happened to us? What happened to us? What happened to us? What really happened to us? Ephesians chapter 2, we just read it. Verse 1 to 6. Give us verse 6 now because we have read this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. What really happened to us? Number one, is that we are quickened. We are quickened. We are recreated, we are made alive. Hallelujah. We are born again. We are wicked. We are wicked with Christ. I say we are quickened together with Christ and made to sit in a place of honor and authority. We are quickened with Christ. Ephesians chapter 1. You gave me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Not 1:6. Ephesians 2:6. And has raised us up together and made us to sit together in what? In who? Christ Jesus. That is the quickening. He didn't just quicken us. He raised us. Look at the process. Amen. Don't worry, I think within the course of I'll talk about our identification with Christ. Amen. I was crucified with him. I died with him. I was buried with him. Hallelujah. I was quickened with him. I was raised with him. And I was made to sit with him. That is our identification with Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are quickened with him. And we are raised up together with him. And made us to sit together in where? Give us the same Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17. Ephesians 1 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Very fast. So, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. God, may this prayer work in our lives in Jesus' name. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of inheritance in where? In the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. This power he demonstrated according to the working of his mighty power. Can you give us another translation, please? I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty word, verse 20, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of what? At God's right hand, in where? In heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to what? He's talking about Christ. Give us back what we read before. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6.
and had raised us up together and made us to sit together in where? If you combine chapter 1 and this, the same place Jesus is sitting is where we are sitting. It's in a place of honor. Somebody say, I'm seated in a place of honor. No, that's the truth. That is the truth. It's not a main story. It's not just something that was written there. That thing, Brother Jide, is a reality. That's why you can look devil eyeball to eyeball and command the devil to go. When we are here watching, I know most of the time, even when they don't even understand what they are acting. What will make that pastor, somebody is one corner conjuring things and the thing is not working? Hallelujah. The Bible says his power is an incredible power. You know what it means? That something unbelievable. The highest power that was demonstrated by God was demonstrated when he raised the son from the dead. Listen, the power God demonstrated in raising Jesus from the dead cannot be compared to the power he demonstrated in creation. Even in your physics, you know, it is, if you are climbing a step, it is more difficult to climb a step than to come down. If you are coming down, gravitational power force is helping you. If you are climbing up, you are climbing against gravity. Let there be light. From heaven, there was light. Raising Jesus from the dead was from beneath. So even all the power, both naturally and physically, we are against Jesus coming out from the grave. But the Bible says that the power was demonstrated not only in raising Jesus up, in raising us up. Because the Bible says, and has raised us. This is what a plural thing is, not only him. Hallelujah. Give us where we are reading. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 21 now. 21. Verse 21. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to what? He has concluded everything. So, even if there is any power that will arise in the world to come, God has concluded every power is subject to this one. The next verse. And has put all things under his word and gave him to be the head over all things to wear the church. The church is not Christ's employee. The church is me and you. Hallelujah. One brother says, we are the head under my feet. This is the scripture that backs it. Said he puts everything under his feet. Christ is our head. We are his body. Feet is part of what? So if the devil is under the feet of Christ, what it simply means is that we are the body. So he is under our feet. It's not enough for somebody to say, I find it said that you have to understand where you are coming from. That you are coming from a place of honor, a place of royalty. The Bible says he raised him up and put him in a place of honor. Not only him, but us. Remember, all that he did for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Another thing, what happened to us? We were translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 to 14. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with what? Knowledge of his will in all spiritual what? I pray for you that you know, apostle, this prayer he prayed here, that's the same prayer you saw in Ephesians chapter 1. That your eyes of understanding be opened, so that you will know the hope of his calling. God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, fruitful in every good work. Somebody lift up your hand. Every every good work. Say every good work. I lay my hand on. I must produce. Look at why you should be productive. Say being fruitful in every good work. And increasing in what? In knowledge of who? Of God. Remember it's a prayer. Verse 12. Strengthened with all what? All might. According to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering. With what? Joyfulness. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Which has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So the saints are where? In the light. There is no difference between you, that big man of God. The Bible says we are partakers of what? The inheritance. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Who had what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and has done what? When we are studying biochemistry, this enzyme will come translatory what? Enzyme. Hallelujah. The digestive enzyme does this work. The translatory enzyme does the secondary work. It carries that thing that was digested and translates it to another point where the thing is needed. He didn't just deliver us. We were translated. Somebody can be delivered and never be translated. Let me tell you what it means. If perfect is beating progress, which one is older? Are you the perfect? Progress. You know, everybody knows perfect because he's a man of God. Somebody that commanded trailer stopped. The man of God. If progress, though I doubt if progress, because one day I saw them fighting. Because I can't tell. If George is beating up this boy, and madam, you are passing. George, why are you beating up progress? Leave progress and you separate them. It's like a deliverance. And you go your way. There's every tendency. George will come back. Okay, you see, it didn't say, Auntie, don't separate us. I go show you today. Mumu boy. If you want to help that boy, if you have delivered the boy from the tyranny, from the frustration of this boy, all that you need to do is either carry him to your house or take him to his mother. God didn't deliver us only from the hand of the devil. He translated us into his kingdom. Are you understanding that? I had translated us into the kingdom of where? Look at the type of kingdom where we are. It's not the kingdom of his son. It's what? His dear son. You know, when there is a difference between this is my son and this is my dear son. This is my son and this is my beloved son. They are not the same thing. For God, everything he does, he has an adjectival qualification of it. God, who is rich in mercy. The kingdom of his what? Dear son. This is my beloved son. Are you understanding that? We are peculiar people, holy nation. Are you getting that? God puts those adjectives there to show you that they to define what he wants. Hallelujah. We have been translated. Another thing is that we are made kings and priests. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. We are made kings and priests. We are made kings and priests. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are made kings and priests. And I made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. How many things did I mention? He quickened us, translated us, and made us kings and priests. Hallelujah. The two most powerful forces on earth. Kings and priests. Hallelujah. In the next 5 minutes, because I told you I will not be preaching long any longer. In the next 5 minutes, I'll tell you one of our privileges, one of our rights in Christ. I'll continue on it on Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. One of our rights and our privileges is that we have rights to call God Father. When there was something I was studying in my office. I saw it. I started shouting. You know, before this time, I believed that what I was believing about adoption was the same way people adopt children. Eh? Have you seen somebody that was adopted? Eh? Have you seen somebody that was adopted? Eh? You have somebody that was adopted? Eh? You have seen somebody that is adopted? Now, I was asking God today, if the adoption you talk about in the scripture, give us Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verse 14. Let's look at that. King James. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are sons of God. Give me the next verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry what? Abba, Father. That's the word. Abba means what? Father. So we cry what? Father, Father. If you know here the first one, you go hear the second one. Hallelujah. So we receive the spirit of adoption. I was asking, I said, this adoption, God, is it the same adoption that we know today? That somebody can just carry his, there are some people that do it in the hospital. Like about 3-4 years ago, just bring like 1 million, 900. Tell them what you want. They will just come, carry a baby and hand over to you. Some guys in suits, tall, huge, everything, carry baby and hand over to you. You don't know, you can't dress anything about the child. You know, some of them, you can adopt them after some time. They can come and start telling you this one and the other one, especially if it was not legally done. They just carry a baby and come and hand over to you. It's genuine. They give you certificate, everything. But you don't know where the baby is coming from. You don't know where the baby is coming. They will make sure that they will ascertain that you are not using the baby for ritual. They will carry the baby and give it to you. If you go to town, you have people that go to motherless babies. You can go there with 500,000-600,000, you can adopt a child. They just come and check whether you are capable of taking care of the child. And from time to time, they come and check. And I ask God, this adoption you talked about, is it the same adoption that we know? I said, God, because I ask questions. I said, if it's the same adoption that we know today, because if I go and adopt a child, that child does not have my gene. Any child you adopted does not have your gene. It does not have your blood. The only thing is that over time they can say, oh, that resembles you. But the truth is that the child is not your child. Eh? Because the person can pick your pattern of life, but your life. You know, I was talking with my younger sister today. The son is about 11 months. See, everybody comes and say, that child is very fair. But you are not too fair. Your husband is not too fair. How? She laughed. She said, but we have fair people in my family. You have seen the twin sister now. You have seen my sister that is in Lagos. We are fair. So there is something fair about us. Even me. Even fairness enter my eyes. Eh? My color. Don't be sorry. See, why are you calling her your color? The two shall become one flesh. If you are one flesh, have I vindicated myself? So, but the gene of that child that was adopted is not in us. It's not in you. It's not in that child. If I'm an adopted child, in the sense of adoption, the gene of that child is not my gene. If I go and say I have adopted a child, there is something that happens in that family. The people will still come and tell you, you are adopted. Your gene is not in that child. Are we together? The adoption is what we know. And we look at this, say, we are just adopted into his family. It simply means, 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 9, cannot be correct. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Cannot be correct. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed, the seed of a man, cannot be in an adopted child. He said, whosoever is born, the word born is what? Born. So it simply means that God gave birth to us. So what does it mean when the Bible says that we are adopted into his family? I ask, I give you a clue. Amen. Do you know it's possible you give birth to this child if I tell you that he's not responsible for the child? Do you know it's possible that if I wakes up and tells you that it's not, do you know it's possible that your husband tells you that it's not responsible for this child? Have you ever noticed that sometimes men abandon their children in the hospital and take off? He never heard them before. Do you know he can put to bed? Henry will tell you, I don't know what you're talking about. Are we together? A man can tell you he's not responsible. A woman can tell you that he does. Don't you realize that a woman can give birth and carry the child and throw in the gutter and move on? Two of us. So, for any child that is born, whether it's born in your house, listen, for every child that is born, that is an element of adoption in the lives of the parents for that child. Adoption simply means that you claim responsibility for that child. You know, letting you carry the child from the hospital to your house is a form of adoption. You are claiming responsibility for the child. You can give birth to a child that does not really look like you, but it's your child. I hope you know. DNA will detect it. I say, this one is your child. They say, hey, the child is not looking like me, but it's your child. Hallelujah. Do you know that some of us that are here, that our parents, it's as good as we don't have parents. Two of us. Do you know that it's possible that some people roaming around the street, it's as good as they don't have parents. Why? That's still like an adoption as regards family. A man adopts a child. I'm not talking in terms of adoption as if I'm going to hospital to adopt. When you adopt a child, you claim responsibility. You want to pay the school fees. You want to do everything. You want to protect the child. You want to do everything. Even if the child knows it's cut off, you still tell the person, that is my words. So. Hallelujah. Standing when the Bible says the spirit of adoption, it's like a legal term trying to tell us that God, hallelujah, trying to tell us that God has claim over us. God is not denying us. God is not saying that we are not part of his. That's why the Bible says that, amen, that we receive the spirit of adoption. That spirit witnesses to us, amen, that there is no time God will say we are not part of him. Just like some earthly parents can tell you, you are not part of me. Haven't you realized some parents can wake up and tell your children, I disown you? What are they trying to say? That adoption, that way I put you into, let me use another word, that way I put you into my life and in my family, I am disowning you. God said, no, there is a spirit of adoption that from January to December, he tells us that we belong to the family of God. I don't know whether somebody is getting understanding. That at any point in time, even when you are in your low moment, if there is anything like that, you can still lift up your hands and say, God, you are my father. Hallelujah. That was why on the cross, even at the darkest moment, Jesus could say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, before he died, he said, my father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why? There is a spirit of adoption that is at work. Even in the ugliest and the most dreadful periods of life. That's what fatherhood is. Hallelujah. There was a story I heard. I continued the message about fatherhood on Sunday. A story I heard a school building collapsed, and there were children inside there. There was a boy that the father took to the school and told the child, "I will come for you. Don't worry, I will come for you." So the building collapsed, and where the building collapsed, the particular classroom where that boy was with the friends, nothing happened to them. They were still alive. But other places, everything don't sink. I think it was an earthquake or something. Every parent will come there and weep and go. But this man said, "I promised my son that I will look for him. Let me even look for him. If he's alive, let me see. If he's dead, let me see." The man went, brought the excavator. They started moving everything. All of a sudden, they started hearing some faint voices of children. So the strength to excavate came. They started excavating. And the boy told the friends, "I told you that my daddy told boy that he's coming for me." That's a option. Rise up on your feet. Jesus.